This morning I wanted to speak about my tribe and how powerful it is when you find your tribe, because I've just been through an amazing breakthrough in God where I felt like I found my tribe. And I reckon people in this church are probably like, Heidi, you've been here since you're 12, like 22 years. Is that right? Yeah, that's right. I'm really bad at maths. You've only just found your tribe, but that's what it's been like. So before this point, I was like, that is my church. I had no doubt about it. That's my church. They're my people. But then I felt like God did set me free from so much fear and intimidation and rejection in my heart that I felt like I almost spiritually became adopted. I found God again. I found Father God, and I also found my people again. I found my tribe on a deeper level. And this morning I just wanted to talk about the power that unlocks in your life, the power that unlocks in the heavenly realm when you find your tribe. Because I don't believe that God meant us to walk the journey of life by ourselves. Right back in the beginning, he said, it isn't good that man should live alone. And he created a helper. And Adam and Eve were a partnership that decided whether to unlock heaven or unlock hell on the earth. And unfortunately, they partnered with the wrong side. But do you know what? That original potential of a partnership is still in each of us. And I know when I partner with my tribe, that I can unlock heaven on earth. And I wanted to talk about that this morning. So firstly, the difference between finding your church and finding your tribe. So I was very similar to what Joe was talking about. Joe and I have had very similar childhoods, very fractured and broken families, and it ended up with both of us feeling like a broken mess, very rejected. There was a real root of rejection in us. So while we could feel and pick up a sense of love in this place, because it's very real, it's very overwhelming sometimes, we couldn't, it's like I could touch it but not receive it inside. So I would go, everybody here's beautiful, like they're so welcoming, they're genuine, they're sincere, but it's not entering into my heart. So it's like I could, like Joe said, have a distance between me and everybody else because it was just a little bit too confronting to me. I just didn't, deep down, the lie of the enemy that had echoed through my head ever since I was a little girl was that they want you if you benefit them, but they might not want all of you. They might not want the bad parts of you, the mistakes, the ugly parts, because that was the example that was set in my family. But then I went through a massive trial in my life where I was, you know, it was really tough and I felt not great about myself. And these people, instead of distancing themselves from me, which I thought they would do, so I was like on the front foot and proactively distancing myself, running away, I felt like they were running after me. Like this man, he was running after me. He kept calling me and I'm like, just leave me alone. I'm just trying to be in my bubble here. And he's like, Heidi, come back. And I'm like, I'll never leave my church, ever. What are you talking about? But in my heart, he could pick up. He's a man of the spirit. He could pick up. I was running away. And do you know what? It wasn't a matter of whether I would ever leave my church. It was a matter of whether I would find my tribe, find my people that God had called me to walk this journey of life with, to unlock heaven with, to reach my town with. Like, that is so powerful. So this morning I wanted to talk about this in Scripture, that Israel is a picture of the church. So Israel didn't just appear out of nowhere. It actually was structured on tribes, 12 tribes. So together, these tribes formed a nation, and every tribe had a function determined by the call of God over that tribe and over the father of that tribe. So we know that Israel in Scripture signifies the church, and it's a powerful picture of what it means to find your tribe. It's finding your people. So it doesn't matter whether you belong to this one or another one, but what matters is that you find your tribe. Wherever you're called, you're going to feel resonating in your spirit when you are with your people. You're like, this is where I belong. And even though all of your past might sabotage and try to separate you from them, you still just keep coming back, hanging around the edges, just like, I want to go in, but I'm not sure how. And do you know what? God will break through your walls so that you can go from being a church member, finding your church or attending your church, to feeling like you belong part of your tribe. You're part of your tribe. It's such a deep level of relationship. And it means, as we're going to unpack it, it means that you don't just attend a church. It means that you can actually access every strength, every victory, every prophecy of that tribe on your life. That's what it means. While you're at a distance and you're like, I'm just going to show up to church, you'll be blessed by the worship and by the preaching, but by Wednesday, it'll be gone. And when you connect as part of your tribe, you have an enduring legacy that you're, it's like you're digging the wells of your father like Isaac did, and you're bringing up the victories and the power of that tribe. So firstly, when you find a tribe, you begin building a nation. So Israel wasn't just a bunch of people haphazard. It was a strategic people movement that God organized into tribes with distinct functions that contributed to building and running a nation. When they all flowed together in unity, the nation was strong. When they fractured, the enemy came in. So often you can see through the Old Testament that Israel would fracture into two factions, and there'd be Judah and there'd be Israel. And when that happened, it often meant the end of peace and prosperity and rule in that nation, and the enemy would come in. And it's so important that even in biblical end time prophecies, the prophecy is that Israel and Judah must become one again. So I believe it's the same for the church. We have, you know, when you look at church history, we're in an interesting time where there's sort of fractures around. There's sort of, I'm like, it's almost, it feels like when you look at tensions and different things in the church, universal across the globe, you're like, it's like the plans and purposes of God are withheld from the earth because his Israel, spiritual Israel, can't come together. But I believe that there is a new day dawning on this earth where God is going to bring the tribes together and unite once again. And the first step is you finding your tribe, being proud of your tribe, contributing to it. So that tribe, when that tribe becomes strong, we start sending out a frequency of unity, of purpose, of prophetic destiny over our nation, over our city. And you know what? I think that it inspires other people to find their tribe. And you know, when I heard Papa speak for the first time, I was 12 years old, but there was something in him that I was like, I want to know God the way that man knows God. I want that so badly. That was because it was my tribe. So the second point is, when you find your tribe, it establishes legacy. So Israel is a mighty nation, even through all of the persecution historically, and even though it's a young nation now since World War II and it was re-established, it is a mighty nation. It is a strong nation. And that's no accident. That's because God designed it that way. He designed it strong. So it had a humble beginning. The humble beginning was one man, Abraham, with a barren wife, no children, only servants. And God came with a promise and he said, you will have a son. Out of you I will make a mighty nation. Your descendants will be as the stars of the sky, as the sand. You know, and his humble beginning was he only had one promised son. And out of that one son came a mighty nation of 12 tribes. So what I want to tell you this morning is don't despise humble beginnings. We might be one church of 100 people. in a little town. But out of this one church, out of this one tribe, God can make a mighty tribe. He can make a mighty people movement that rebuilds our nation, that rebuilds our city, that establishes legacy for the next generation. Because you know what? This isn't going to stay like this forever. This is a season. This is going to go from strength to strength because God is in it. So Abraham had one son, Isaac. Didn't seem like a lot to work with, but God saw a nation in that one seed, and he had descendants that multiplied and numbered the stars in the sky. So I didn't get the scripture ready, sorry, you'll have to just believe me and look it up later. But when God spoke about Abraham, he said, "How can I hide?" Is this right, Papa? "How can I hide my plans for him? For he teaches his children to obey me." Something like that, my paraphrase version. But what it's talking about is this incredible concept that when God looks at Julian, he doesn't see him as just one individual isolated on an island by himself. He actually sees a nation within Julian, because he sees Julian, Levi, Archie, their children's children, and he sees a nation inside him. Now, if he knows the heart of my husband, he would know that there is no way that Julian is not going to raise his sons to rebel against God. He raises his children to obey God. He is a faithful father, and he is a faithful son of God. So do you know what? God goes, "I can't help but tell Julian my plans and purposes. I can't help but speak to him and download to him what I want to do in his family, in his tribe, in this earth, because he's going to command his children, and his children will command their children and their children, and it makes a mighty people movement, a mighty tribe." So do you know what? If Julian had, God, it says in the scripture, God looks on our hearts. He knows what's in there. If he sees something in Julian's heart that withholds the dimensions of God from his children, that won't pass it on accurately, then he withholds his voice. He withholds his plan. But if he sees the heart of a faithful father in Julian, he goes, "Jules, there is a mighty nation in you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm not going to withhold my voice. I'm going to speak to you." And it's the same spiritually speaking. It's not all of us have children, but do you know what? There are people who look to you. There are people who are connected to you. There are friends. There are family members who are attached to your life. And God says, "I can see in your heart that everything I give you, you're going to pass on. So I can see a nation in you. I'm going to give you my word. I'm going to give you my plans and purposes." That is how you become, you expand your tribe and become a nation builder. So when you find your tribes, your tribe, your relationships connect generations and unlock the voice of God and unlock his plans and his purposes over you and your descendants. These blessings extend far beyond just your life. So I know that when I walked into this church, I, even though it didn't all happen straight away, but I was set on a journey of breakthrough, of healing, of freedom, and I receive all these blessings. But the most incredible thing is that since I became a mum, I look at my kids running around, having the time of their lives, and not even worrying or seeing any trace of my brokenness in them. That is the most amazing reward as a mum, as a parent. So I know that the blessings from this tribe have made me break a cycle that releases the next generation from every pain and every hurt that was sowed into my life. So these blessings are going to extend beyond you. I believe that's what it means to say they're going to overtake you. The blessing in my life overtook me and went to my children, and they are living free, prosperous, peaceful lives because I was able to break the cycle when I joined this tribe. So the third point, you find your tribe because you're united by destiny. So you will know your tribe because you'll share the same destiny. You'll feel it on the inside of your spirit. You don't fit anywhere else. when Papa speaks or Julian speaks, Joy speaks, there's a type of vision that comes out of them that just hooks you in, just hooked me in. And it felt like I could always see, even from young, a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of heaven on earth, a glimpse of what it would actually look like when heaven touched this city, how our streets would be restored, how our homes would be filled with joy. That's what I see when Papa speaks. And I'm like, that's what I want. Yeah. That is exactly what I want. I don't want to be, working 9 to 5 for the rest of my life and retire and get a caravan and do what people do. I want heaven on earth. That's what I want. So this is my tribe, because I know that they want the same thing. That's our destiny together. So, for example, in the scripture, your destiny was always linked to the meaning of your name. So, you know, Jacob used to mean deceiver or supplanter. And after he had his breakthrough encounter with God, his name was changed to Israel, which means Prince of God. And do you know what? Your call, your destiny is in the name. So City Builders is reach out, reconnect, restore, rebuild. If that is resonating in you, then you're like, that's my destiny, that's my tribe, that's the assignment is in the name, the destiny is in the name. So, you know, we're not here for just a good time every Sunday morning. We're here to build something in our city that's going to last for generations. So the tribe of Levi were the priests, and it was their job to bring sacrifices to the temple to atone for the sins of the nation. It was a huge job and a specific destiny. But there is no point of joining the Levite tribe if you are from the tribe of Judah, which was the tribe of kings that produced David, produced his royal line, ruled for generations. So, you know, the two tribes, there's nothing wrong with them. They're different. They have a specific function and call. So it's no problem if you're like, I love City Builders, I love your service, but I actually feel like this is my tribe. Fantastic. Go, you know, release your destiny, you know, release yourself. It's awesome. But don't hate on me for loving my tribe. You know, sorry, I'm a little bit defensive. Stop hating on me because I love my tribe. So it's an amazing thing. If you're not flowing with the assignment or the destiny of the tribe, then go find yours, you know. But if you're here, this is the direction we're going, because this is what we believe God has called us to do. You cannot change that. Number four, nearly finished. When you join your tribe, you access the blessing of the Father. So the incredible origins of the 12 tribes of Israel was that Jacob's 12 sons, as well as Joseph's 2 sons, came to him on his deathbed. And in Genesis 49, before Jacob died, he gathered his family, he laid hands on his sons, and he transferred what is known as the birthright blessing to them. He released destiny over them. So this is a very significant thing spiritually, because it meant everything that Jacob had access to from Isaac, his father, from Abraham, his grandfather, and then his own personal breakthroughs and victories and revelations of God that he had in his life, he didn't want it to cut off with him. So he gathered his family and he said, I'm going to transfer this spiritually to you, and then you are going to carry on my legacy. So it doesn't stop with me. So this is incredible. When you find your tribe, you find your blessing. You find your birthright. Do you know what? We had a breakthrough this time last week with our youngest son, Archie. We were reading in Ephesians 1. We just went there, just got inspired. And Archie literally got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's like, I want this. Because we started talking about how every spiritual blessing God has blessed us with, and it's locked up, it's in the heavenly world. How do we access spiritual blessings in the heavenly world? We speak in the Spirit. that's the language of that world. And there's a transfer that takes place. And Archie is usually a larrikin, and you're like, he's not even listening. Fine, go out, go do your thing, Arch. He's like, I want that. He was like on fire. He was a little fireball, and he was like jumping out of his seat, and he was like, I want that, Mum. Let's do it now. And I'm like, how about we call Dad? And he goes, no, I don't have time. Let's do it now. It's like, I don't know what he was thinking was up there, like maybe an Xbox One or something. I don't know. But he was genuinely picking up the spirit. And I read Archie, do you know, it's said in there that in Ephesians 1, I think it's about verse 4 or 5, that we are adopted as sons. And now we have rights as his children. So I go, do you know, Archie, when mummy and daddy in a very long time, when we're super old, will die, you actually have rights to everything in our life. You have rights to our car, to our home, to all of our possessions. And I said, well, do you know what? God owns the whole world. He owns the heavens and the earth. It is your right to have dominion. This belongs to you. Every blessing in there, it's your right to touch it, to live it, to bring it down to earth. You know, and he was just like, yes. So sometimes it's like you don't know your rights until you join your tribe. You don't know what your blessing is until you connect your heart to your tribe. So for me, you know, I loved my church. This was my spiritual family, and I was blessed every day by being here. But there was another level, there was another depth, because I still felt unworthy. I still felt like I didn't have rights to anything, you know. I was like, no. And I remember Papa coming up to me one day and saying, the blessings of Abraham are coming to you. And do you know what I said? No. And it was out of an unworthiness. I was like, no, you've given me enough. The blessings of Abraham sounds like it's too heavy, and probably someone else deserves that. But it's like the blessing of a father. It's like a birthright that unlocks something over your life. And that's what happens here. So, Jacob released prophetic blessing, and though each of those sons carried a corresponding responsibility and function that each tribe would carry to be able to bring the nation of Israel together. So when you find your tribe, you are connected to the blessing of the father of that tribe. The birthright is yours. City Builders isn't the representation of a denomination. I know that sounds really controversial, but it's not. It's something deeper than that. It's something more than that. It is a tribe that represents a father in the spirit. So my father in the spirit, and pretty much in the natural since I was 14, is Papa's, Pastor Brian, and his father is Dr. Jonathan David, a mentor in the spirit, a trainer, someone who's guided him. And it says, you know, Paul says, we've got so many teachers, but not a lot of fathers. I feel like I've truly, you can go to a lot of churches and find great teaching, but I don't feel like I could ever find a father. So I'm like, this is my father. I'm proud to say it. And I know that he's under a father. And that's what City Builders represents. It's not a denomination. It's not like a church franchise. It's a tribe that belongs to a father heart. And that is a beautiful thing, because that unlocks destiny over your life. So my last point is that, have I gone too long? Do you want to get it? My last point is that, you know, when you gather in your tribe, it can unlock heaven on earth. And that is, Papa talked about it this morning in our training, School of the Spirit. But, you know, there was a tribe of people who began following Jesus. The moment Jesus was crucified, that tribe scattered into a dozen different directions. And people were literally running for their lives. You see that Peter, who was once to become a great apostle in the New Testament, actually denied Christ 3 times because he was scared for his life. So sometimes that happens. You get scattered. But God could not create, could not perform the next move until he brought his scattered sheep back. And do you know where he brought them back? This blows my mind. He brought them back to the upper room, the same room that Jesus and his disciples had the Last Supper with. That shows me that communicating, relationship, heart to heart, that is where it all begins. That is where it's at. So he brings them back to that same place. He says, wait for me there. And they begin waiting on the Lord. And we see in the scripture that waiting can mean like entwining yourself with God. So I think it was an active waiting. I think that they would have felt an electric atmosphere. And that is when that tribe came together. It was in secret. They didn't want anyone else to know because they were scared. But in that upper room with that 120, God poured out his spirit because they were of one mind, they were of one accord. And that's what it means to be in a tribe, one accord. You might not be in agreement on every little trivial thing, but on the important matters, you are absolutely in one accord. And that is when God can release a move, can open the heavens over you. So that's good.
Awesome. We're going to do a bit of a tag team this morning. That's great. Who would say I'm a lucky man? If you didn't know, that's my wife. Blessed. Blessed I am. And I did want to apologise for anyone that owns a caravan. Because I would love a caravan. And Heidi doesn't want a caravan. So, I wanted to follow on from something Pastor Brian said just this morning, and I just picked it up in the prayer meeting yesterday, that now is the time. And now is your time. And I just really want to encourage you. You know, I won't be too long. It'll be 5-10 minutes. But I just want to really encourage you that now is your time. You know, everything Heidi's been speaking about there is possible. You know, now is your time. Now is his time to shine. You know, now is the time. And I want to say, you know, he can do it. He being God, Jesus. You know, so pressure is off. So Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord. You know, with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So the pressure's off. You know, God is the one that's in control. The prophet Zechariah said, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. So God's in control. And now is the time for you. Now is the time for us. And now is the time for God, you know, to shine and to be who he needs to be in our city and our nation. So just quickly, if I can, if we go to Revelation, we would know this scripture well. Revelation 12. And I'll just give you a bit of a background. So basically this is a, Revelation's a prophetic picture that John, the Apostle John, saw. So John prophetically sees a time where true sons are revealed. So this is a paraphrased version of Revelation 12. So go away and have a read of it. It talks of how Father God was there ready to cover and protect the woman as she bore the son, which was representative of the sons of God. There's a battle over them by the devil and the angel Michael. So this is my paraphrase version. The good thing about this is the devil didn't prevail. He and his angels were cast out and there was no place found for them in heaven. So this is a bit of a background of this scripture. But in verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. So now is the time. Now is your time. You know, now is God's time to really shine through you, you know, into our city for his plans and purposes to be revealed. So now is the time. So have you ever felt accused? Have you ever felt, you know, something has been done wrong by you? You know, have you felt threatened, overcome, misunderstood, shut down? Well, the devil's a liar. You know, the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. And he comes to steal, kill and destroy. You know, that's the fruit of the enemy. It's that. If you feel shut down, if you feel accused, if you feel, you know, like there's lies and there's just death and destruction around you, that is from one source, the enemy. And in verse 10 of Revelation 12, it says John sees the devil cast down. So I want to say today, he's a defeated foe. He was rendered useless. Amen. There's no place for him. There's no place for him in a believer. There's no place for him in someone that has received Christ. There's no place for him. There is no place for him. Amen. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He just wants to destroy. But it's good because John saw him being cast down. There was no place for him. And here's the best bit. Here's the key. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to death. So really quickly this morning, number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, the cross, the power to break every chain. That one act that when Jesus died on the cross sealed the deal. Amen. It sealed the deal. You can live free. And Anita and Pastor Brian spoke about that last week, about freedom, about victory and how we can live. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Amen. Number two, the word of their testimony. You can't argue with a changed life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. You can't argue with a changed life. You know, and there'd be ones in this room, maybe most in this room, that would be able to say amen to that. No one can tell me what I've experienced, that it's not right, that it didn't happen. Does that make sense? I once was lost, but now I'm found. The testimony is not just telling your story. And I hope this comes out okay. It's the power of the Holy Spirit backing you up. That's the power in the testimony. It's not just you naturally telling your story, although that's great, but there's like a backing of the Holy Ghost on the inside, telling it on your behalf. So it says there about how the enemy, comes in and he accuses you day and night. Well, it's like the Holy Spirit counters that, telling it on your behalf, countering the lies of the enemy. Does that make sense? That's the power of your testimony. That's the power of the testimony. So speak, you know, be loud, be proud on who God has called you to be, that God is on the inside of you. Be loud and proud about that. Speak it out. You know, don't shy away from that. Who He's called you to be. You know, the call of God on your life. Don't shy away. Own it. Someone said, own it. Own God on the inside of you. Be proud of God on the inside of you. Be proud of your tribe and where you come from. Don't shy away from it. Be proud. So number one, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Number two, by the word of their testimony. And number three, they did not love their own lives to death. You know, Pastor Brian, I think he said it this morning, live our lives as a sacrifice to Him. This is the clincher. And I think where sometimes people can struggle, this is a call to, you know, enter the cross of Christ, really. So the Apostle Paul did, not literally, but in Galatians 2:20, it says, this is Paul speaking, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we can quote this, but we sometimes don't live it. You know, and this is, I think, just the power just in this, you know, bit of scripture in Revelation 12:11. So there can be so much self and fear and intimidation that we fail to live this out. I believe this is the place. You know, I was just thinking of this last night. I really believe this is the place where, you know, where Pastor Brian and Lynn are really beginning to move into in just such a deeper way. They did not love their lives even to death. I want to say this, God is sovereign. Amen. God is sovereign. God is in control and you don't have to worry one bit. Persecution, embarrassment, accusation, what is that? Really? You know, what is that? And I was reading about Stephen, about how he was martyred. That is amazing. Please go away and read that. It's like now. You won't get stoned, literally. Although we've been in a situation, some of the others have been in a situation where we've been stoned. But that's a story for another day. But don't worry. Yeah. I won't go into that, but I'd really encourage you to go away and just read that passage of Scripture. It's in Acts 7, you know, about what happened there to Stephen, you know, and the just the beautifulness of his heart in what was happening, you know, with the people that were just so against him and coming out against him. You know, I think it was the Sanhedrin that accused him and stoned him. In that time, they had no right whatsoever to follow through with the law of killing him. Yep. Under Roman law, they had no reason to, but out of the hatred and thing inside them, they just rose up and they just went berserk, you know. But in that, you know, to me, I just think I'd come out, you know, fighting. And this I'll finish on. I think the test of completely living this way was the response, you know, from Stephen and even Jesus when he was on the cross. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That was Stephen's heart before he fell asleep, the word says. And Jesus on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to death. So our love for our God, our love for each other, and our love for others, you know, is just so important. So important. Don't be a pushover, you know, but just love. You know, let everything we do just come out of that heart of love. If our relationships are unbreakable, Pastor Brian said this, I love it. If our relationships are unbreakable, then our church becomes unstoppable. You know, if your marriage is unbreakable, then your marriage becomes unstoppable. You know, you word it how you want, but when our relationships are tight, when you find your tribe, when you really find your tribe, then you are unstoppable. And you've got every blessing, you know, that this tribe represents and the open heaven over this place represents. Amen. And I know you would have fierce people in here that love you fiercely to cover you and protect you. Someone said this morning they feel protected, they feel safe, you know, in this environment. So this is your time, amen? Amen, this is your time. This is our time. And I reckon it's God's time to truly shine through you, through us as a people, you know, and just to be able to, for him to be able to do everything that he wants to do in this city, amen? Amen.